And I'm joined today by Denise Turner, who recently became chief executive at Root, who are the UK currency for out of home. Now, Denise was previously at Newsworks, the UK trade body for news brands, and before that at Havas and at Leo Burnett. So she's got a wide range of perspectives on media measurement from both the buy and the sell side. So a great person to speak to. And recently, she suggested an 8-point measurement manifesto for advertisers. So welcome to the podcast, Denise.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Richard. It makes me sound really old, that sort of introduction, but I'm delighted to be here and thank you for having me.
Now, some of you may be raising your eyebrows as we don't usually stray too far beyond video and audio on this particular podcast, but a number of people have been saying to us over the last year or two, including Tony Jarvis in ASIcast number 151, that there's some important developments in out of home that are very relevant to wider video and audio measurement, that the barriers in measurement are breaking down, which is a constant theme to a lot of our podcasts. The most obvious point of convergence is around the growth of digital out of home, but also there's the hot topics of attention, programmatic and hybrid solutions. And perhaps reflecting that, Denise was in the audience at a recent conference in Nice. But firstly, Denise, could you give us an idea of what the components are of the Root recipe? What data sets do you bring together to measure out of home in the UK?
It was really interesting that, you know, going to ASI, and I debated going to ASI thinking it was a TV and video conference, but actually the challenges for measurement are completely the same across, well, not completely the same, but they are very similar across different channels. So back to your question, sorry, the component parts of Root are that we need to work out how many frames there are in the country, how many people might potentially go along those roads, how many pedestrians, how many vehicles, how many cyclists there might go along, and also you've got, and I call it the Ministry of Moving Parts. Probably that's a bit of a pun, but it is, because you've got frames, you've got different sizes of frames, you've got different roads, you've got different locations, you've got different types of people, and those frames might be side on, they might be forward facing, they might have different options or opportunities for people to see them. So there's a lot of stuff that actually goes on before the actual research happens. And that seems a bit strange in some ways, but there's lots of mapping, there's lots of counting of data, traffic volumes, pedestrian volumes, before you actually get people to carry a device and work out whether they actually come across or enter a visibility area of a poster or a screen. And then you've got posters versus digital screens. I've worked in research for over 30 years, and I think it's one of the most complicated collection of data sets that I've ever seen.
Because you not only do you need to work out what's out there and where it is, you've got to work out sort of survey-based metrics around who is exposed, then also whether they're pointing in the right direction, quite literally. Mm-hmm. And then actually then ally that with wider big data sets around volumes of traffic on public transport, streets, roads, etc. So there are, as you say, and it's a topic we may return to, this complexity one, because I know that it's something that a direction that the other currencies are also moving in as well, in terms of having more moving parts. Now, Root was effectively on pause during the pandemic for obvious reasons, not just that no one was allowed out, but also in terms of having data to actually measure. But you had your first new data release just last month. I gather you put the hiatus to good use to make significant improvements in the methodology. So what have you fine-tuned? What are the differences with the new post-pandemic Root?
So I think there are probably two or three different aspects that we've used the hiatus to look at. One is using contemporary volume counts. So how many people are moving around streets, shopping centres, motorway service areas, all of those sorts of different environments that Root measures. So we've gathered lots of different volume count data to really understand, you know, how people are, how many people and how they are moving around the country now versus pre-pandemic, because that's one of the questions we get asked a lot from agencies is, well, nobody does anything normal anymore, do they? So you have to find different data sets that allow you to understand actually how people are moving around. So volume counts is one aspect. The other aspect is we have introduced a thing called a multi-sensory tracker device, because one of the problems that we found was really trying to understand how people move around, particularly pedestrians, and how they move around indoor spaces. Because you can imagine if you're carrying your mobile phone, and mobile phone data is great, but if you're carrying your mobile phone and you switch it off or it pings to a different mast or that sort of thing, then you don't have a sensible read of how people are moving. And previously, Root had applied a pretty standard kind of speed of pedestrians. But now, because of the people carrying these multi-sensor tracking devices, we can divide people into whether they're stopping. We call it waiting, wending, and walking. But waiting is when you're like stood opposite a tube car panel or you're in a shopping centre. Wending is when you're moseying along. You might be taking your dog for a walk. You might be just ambling around the town. Or if you're a London commuter or a Manchester commuter or a Birmingham commuter, I must remember actually that not everybody lives in London. You might be walking at speed. So it's really trying to understand how people's attention to outdoor posters and screens varies according to the speed at which they're walking. And that actually has really helped us to better understand how people are moving around. And what's interesting is that you would expect that people who are walking wouldn't pay attention as much, but actually they pay slightly more attention because they're trying not to come a cropper if they cross the road or if they walk down an escalator or whatever. So it's, I mean, the differences are not that great between walking, wending and waiting, but I think it's just really helpful to understand how people move around and whether they're likely to pay attention to outdoor screens and posters.
So you move way beyond there was a poster, there was a panel and X thousand people walk past it. There's also the speed they walk past, but also attention. And attention is a topic that's cropped up many times on the podcast. As you'll know, we've spoken to companies specializing in attention, and it is a big topic, not least with the Attention Council lobbying quite hard for it to be introduced. And there's a lot of debate about whether attention could be incorporated into the video currencies, whether for you it already is effectively. Do you think other currencies are ready to move beyond simple exposure measures? What's your experience coming from more of a news brand background to a currency that has got baked into it, actually, whether someone's head is angled towards a poster and for how long?
I think outdoor has had to work harder at measuring attention because it's not, the context for outdoor is so different to a lot of other channels because there's not the content around it. There's the geography, there's all of the other things that I've talked about. From a news brand perspective, I did, when I was at Newsworks, we did quite a big project with Group M where we looked at attention or viewable impressions, I guess, if you like to call them, in so published media versus or premium quality media or curated media, whatever the term is that you like to use, versus just run of the internet, all brand safe, of course. But what we found was that a huge percentage of the ads that were delivered in the brand safe environment that wasn't curated were not seen. So I think what I've realized coming to out of home is that actually the, you know, the view of whether things are seen or not, or whether things are attended to or not, is, yeah, outdoors definitely got to work harder in that respect. But also, in some ways, we've got a slightly easier job because we don't have difficult content around.
I guess that what's changed or what has become more pressing in video and to a certain degree audio research is that the desire of, for taking video, for example, premium video platforms to differentiate from a simple exposure. Up to now, largely the assumption is, you know, as you say, someone's in a room, therefore they must be watching, someone could hear, therefore they must be listening. And that you need to be introducing additional metrics to differentiate between a social media feed and an advert in the middle of ITV Saturday night show. And I guess the concern is, on the one hand, that would help. On the other hand, it's a step change in the metrics. And I don't know if Outdoor went through this from, you know, transitioning from simple just OTS measures to much more. How do advertisers react to that? Because I guess the fear from a media owner would be, well, I'm just going to lose money because my audiences will go down if we move from a simple. It's about the definition of an impact, as we were discussing with Tony Jarvis on that recent podcast. Yeah, an impact isn't just a demographic was potentially exposed, it's whether you move beyond that.
It's a realistic opportunity to see. And I think that's really important, because I think Outdoor sort of pioneered attention, if you like, because we've sort of had to. Whereas I think other channels are sort of playing catch up on that, because it was exposure rather than realistic opportunity to see. So I think the outdoor industry has, to your question, has been through that. You know, we moved from Oscar to Postar to Root, and we've sort of almost, not downplayed, but we've almost gone through that process in advance of other channels doing it, because we've had to. I do remember I'm old enough to remember the Oscar to Postar, debate. But actually, it was all about realistic opportunity to see. And the move from Postar to Root was just a sort of more of a fine tuning of that, in my view. So we've sort of had to do it because it was necessary. And I think other currencies are now coming to that point. I think on attention, I think we need to be a bit careful about, how we define it and how we measure it, because it could be different for different channels. And that's one of the challenges I think we face in terms of, there's a sense of, do you want all currencies to do exactly the same thing? That may not be appropriate. But actually working out whether people have a realistic opportunity to see or hear, or view, is a good standard, I think, to try and adopt.
I mean, you make a good point for radio, for example. I remember 10 years ago there was a lot of talk about something called low involvement processing, which is the idea that actually some radio advertisers sneak into your subconscious rather than just bash you over the head initially. But you mentioned earlier, coming into the world of out of home, that one of the things that really struck you was how complex the measurement was. I'd certainly echo that. I mean, unfortunately, both of us in recent interviews have been referred to as veterans, but we'll put that to one side. But in my, across my career, I've always been very aware of poster and outdoor research, and more recently digital out of home. But it has always seemed to be slightly at a tangent, partly because it is so complex. Whereas now, of course, if you take the other currencies, they are becoming more complex. TV isn't just meters anymore. Radio isn't just diaries. News brands aren't just masthead booklets. So in that sense, Root is leading the way. But the big challenge is, How do you work with users to reassure them that it's not a black box, that it's not algorithms that could change the results hugely? That they have, you know, there used to be this simplicity that you explain to someone what a radio diary or a masthead booklet or a meter was, and most people could get that. But we're now moving away from that towards a world much like consumer electronics, where my dad could probably fix a television back in the 50s if he really tried to, whereas now cars, televisions are really the realm of experts if you want them fixed. So how do you reassure users that the data that's coming out of the complex system is something they can believe in?
So I think there, my beauty of this is that I don't, you know, I've never worked in detailed data stuff, if you like. I work in research. And I think that I have always worked in research. And I think that I try and boil things down to really simple stories. So what I try and do with our users is talk to them about the fact that these are the methods that we're bringing in, these are the new things that we're doing, and this is what is going to make a difference to your data. And so I just try and keep it really simple, because I, growing up in media agency land, you had to have things as really simple stories. And so what I try and do them is I give them a bit of a view on what impact this could have on your data. And this is why I think we should do it. So it's keeping it really simple. It's giving them confidence that, you know, whilst no data or research is perfect, that we are combining the data in the best possible way for them. I think one thing that's really interesting to me from a Root perspective is, I'm sorry, you can probably hear the hoovering in the background. I apologize. You can tell it's really real now. One of the things really interesting from a Root perspective is that the data is so important to trading and currency, you know, and when people are selling and buying. So I'm really conscious that I need to give people that confidence in the data. And that's something that probably has been the case in other currencies, but I'm really conscious of the that importance for our users is to, you know, if we make changes in the data, they need to know that it's been done for the right reasons. We're not just doing it for the sake of it.
Mm. The third challenge, I guess, for all the currencies is around the measurement of programmatic and targeting, which clearly is a challenge for, you know, sort of survey research based methodologies. And there are obviously issues for digital out of home as well, where you're now getting campaigns that can be changed virtually in real time, depending on what the weather is. And suddenly start advertising umbrellas in Ipswich because it started to rain. How granular are you able to go in terms of the tracking of those campaigns where what's on a digital panel could change multiple times during a day?
So at the current moment, we have digital spots at a 15-minute level across the country. Now, that does cause some issues in the sense that you might not have enough data at a 15-minute level to be able to be confident in it. But generally, if we aggregate that up, we can know that, yeah, between the hours of 9 and 10 in Ipswich, it's raining, and therefore we can measure, you know, we can deliver content and we can measure that content. I think with the digital out of home bit, one of the things that I always say, and I've said it all my life really, is that we measure people, not devices. So we need to remember that actually it's people moving around and it's people having to put up their umbrellas and, you know, walk through the rain in Ipswich. So we can measure digital spots. And one of the challenges is that there are lots of different ways of or lots of different options of how you deploy those digital spots. So it might be 10 seconds on, it might be 10 seconds off, or it might be like you've got four spots in an hour or four spots in a 15 minute period rather. And so it's trying to differentiate between what's market sizing in terms of the total digital audience that is being delivered and actually what's being delivered in a particular place at a particular time and whether people are walking past it. So that's, again, back to the complexity of measuring out of home. So I think one of my sort of things that I'm thinking about this year is how do I differentiate between market sizing and proof of play, if you like, in terms of what was actually delivered. But market sizing is what's the total available audience for a digital out of home screen.
Well, certainly a topic that is top of mind at ASI conferences in terms of particularly one of the big drivers of why so-called big data is so important going forward, being able to understand what was served. But as you say, it's then about turning that into people-based information. I'm talking of people, and finally, because you've given very generously of your time, but we're conscious that we don't eat too much into your Monday morning. But you mentioned there'd been a lot of interest from the agencies just around what impact the pandemic had. I guess it is early days and we are talking about one specific market, but have you got any feel for which elements of our behaviour are returning to normal and which may be still up in the air in terms of the long-term implications?
So I think there are two, maybe three things for me. One is that we should definitely not be London-centric, that we should definitely not be office-centric. So by that, I mean that we might think that in London, nobody does anything normal anymore, that they don't go into the office. But actually, people are going to the office, maybe not 5 days a week, but they're going in 3 or 4 days. And what we're finding, and some of the, you know, the companies I work with are observing and doing some research around the fact that if people are not going into the office 5 days a week, they are more interested in going into town, or whether it's London, Birmingham, Manchester, Edinburgh, wherever, at a weekend. So their behaviours are different. So reach is still the same, but impacts are spread differently across the week is sort of what we're finding. I think the other thing for me is that remembering that not everybody can work from home. If you're a shop assistant or if you're a hairdresser training to become a hairdresser, you have to go into a salon to learn how to cut people's hair. So it's sort of remembering that not everybody is an office worker. If you're a doctor or a nurse, for instance, you know, you have to be in the hospital. You can't do your job from home. So what we're observing is that there are some differences, and actually out of London, there's more, I hate the word back to, the phrase back to normal, but there is more return to working practices that we observed before the pandemic that there is in London. And we should always remember that we're not the same as the people outside of London. I mean, that's something I've been obsessed with forever anyway.
Yes, yeah. I mean, also from if you analyse politics over the last 20 years, that's been perhaps one of the areas where a lot of the parties have gone wrong in terms of understanding how the country works and what it wants. But that's been fascinating to talk to you today, Denise. We'll definitely be keeping more of an eye on what's going on in the world of out of home, and we'll think about how best to feature that in our conference coming up in November. But in the meantime, thanks for making the time to speak to us.
And thank you for having me. Hopefully that was all right.